I'm actually going to talk about the story of David and Goliath. How many have heard, you guys all heard about the David and Goliath story? Pretty much everybody, mostly. I'm actually not going to go through and read all 58 verses. Hallelujah. So what I want to also just challenge you guys, how many of you guys have a cell phone? Yes. I want you all to download the Bible app, okay? You guys go actually read my story. Okay, read 1 Samuel 17, verse 1 through 58. And I'm challenging you this because no matter where we are, as much time as we spend on Instagram or Facebook, that at least if you have your cell phone, that the Bible is still with you, that the Word of God is still with you. Now, I'm actually just going to give you guys all the highlights of the story. So this first part, or the first highlight that I want to point out is Goliath. So the deal with Goliath, we talk about this giant. He was actually the champion of the Philistine army. He was a giant. So in the Bible, it says he was 6 cubits and a span. And I wanted to convert that because I had no idea what that was in regular days terms. And he was basically 9.7 feet tall. Boy, he's a big boy. All right. He was wearing full armor. So he had a bronze helmet, a coat of bronze armor that weighed 5,000 shekels. Now, that I also converted was 628.75 pounds. Now, for real, he was a really big boy. Okay. Now, he had a spear with an iron point rod that was 75 pounds. Who all can even lift 75 pounds? He yelled for 40 days. So every day he came out from his camp and yelled to the Israelite camp saying, "Hey, hey, hey, whoever decides who wants to beat me or challenge me, if you guys beat me, then my people will be subject to you," and then vice versa. So he said, "Well, if the Israelites, you guys lose, that means the Philistine army and the Philistine people are going to be over you." Now remember, the Israelites, guys, these were God's chosen people. God had already given manna to the people for 40 years, walked them through, water, escaping the Egyptians. All of these things have happened to the Israelite army. But yet, for 40 days, they could not figure out who to send out there to challenge this giant. Okay, so that's the first highlight of the story. The second highlight, if you can pass me, is David. Now, how many of you guys know King David? He became a king because of this story, or almost part of this story, right? Now, he wasn't even in the army. So this guy, scrawny little guy, not even in the army. He's probably, I think of King David like Pastor Keith's size. He was, right? Probably, right? Anyway, he was the youngest of all of his siblings. And then David tended his father's sheep. So he was basically a sheep herder, okay? Now, when David was, basically how he got to the Philistine camp or to the battle site was his father said, "Hey, bring this food to your brothers and, make sure that they're okay. Check up on them and, let them know, let me know if they're okay." So once David got there, he was the runt of the pack, right? So if I was the runt of the pack, which I'm not, but I would be like, "Hey, what's going on? What's going on?" Right? So he weaseled his way through to the tent, and he asked all these questions. He was basically asking all these questions of like, "Who's this guy yelling?" Right? "Who is this guy who thinks he's like the big boy yelling at all of our people?" And people started to tell, David, like, "Yeah, he's been yelling for 40 days. And then his brother, of all people, said, "Hey, guy, be quiet. What are you even doing here? Like, you're not even part of the army. You're not even supposed to be here. Go back home." But you notice that one of the highlights that David did was he shut down one of the naysayers or some of the naysayers. So he even said, in the Bible it says, "Can I even speak?" He's like, "Ooh." Yeah, so you guys have to actually go and read it. It actually says, he says this to his brother, he says, "Can't I even speak?" After that, David told Saul that he had killed both a bear and a lion as a sheep herder, so he was protecting his sheep. He told Saul, like, hey, I killed a bear, I killed a lion, I can kill this giant. So pretty good resume, right? Like, hey, all right, well, sure, if you've killed a bear, if you've killed a lion, sure, I'll send you out to try your hand at this guy. And basically, David, you know, he got the job. So he said, okay, well, you know, let me pick out 5 stones. I only need 5. And they started to put armor on him. He said it was too heavy. I can't wear this armor. And let me take it off. So I'm just going to go out there with my stone. Let alone, or basically what ended up happening was that he killed the giant using only 1. Now, he gave all of his credit to God, right? Now, here's the deal. All of us have heard this story in some form or fashion. You guys could probably see yourselves in David, right? You're the small person. You can do anything with God behind you, which we can. But if you can, go ahead. But what if I told you that we are not David in this story? We are not the person using the stone to kill the giant. What if I told you that we aren't the person who's going to save the day? And I also said, in this story, Jesus is David. Think about this. Jesus is David in this story. When we replace ourselves, meaning we are not David in this story, but we are Jesus, that means we know that Jesus has already killed our giant. So whether it's fear, whether it's shame, whether it's self-worth, whether it's distraction, whatever it may be, Jesus is David in this story, that we've already been redeemed by Jesus. That's why he came for us. That's why he's already given us this gift of life. Now, I have a footnote there that says, through Jesus, our giants are already dead. Okay. However, they can still be deadly. They can still hurt us. Like, has anybody ever killed a snake? I know some of y'all lesbians might have. Okay, we have the gay boy back there. Oh, and the lesbian back there. All right. So if you kill a snake, you gotta pop, you know, hit the head, hit it like that, and then chop it off from the rest of the body, right? I don't know. But basically, the rest of the body is still wiggling and wriggling and whatever it does, and it still has venomous poison in it. If you get too close to that poison, or if you start messing around with the head, it can bite you and still poison you. Now realize that though we know Jesus and has already saved us, but that doesn't mean that we can't be aware that we have giants, that we're still dealing with issues and things in our lives. Like, we have to be aware of the things that are our weaknesses, that we have to be aware of things that will bother us. My wife was being bothered by me this morning. I started crying because she kept burning my pancakes. And she was like, fine, I'm cooking them. It's not my pancake day. And she was hoping I would say, no, baby, don't make my pancakes. But I was like, please. I just almost started crying. Right. But know that there are things that are still going to try to attack us and to separate us. Remember, Pastor Keith said earlier, the enemy is here to steal, kill, and destroy. To separate us from community, to separate us from God, to separate us and put us in isolation. To destroy our self-confidence and our worth. But again, Jesus is David. Jesus is already killed it for you. Now, let's talk about the battles. So recently in April, I attended a dialogue that had that was called Oriented to Love. It's an organization or a dialogue put on by this organization called Evangelicals for Social Action. If you guys are interested, please let me know. I can talk more specifically about the dialogue. It was pretty cool. I got to have conversation with the ex-president of Exodus, Alan Chambers. I got to meet a really cool attorney who is a lobbyist for pro-LGBT laws in D.C., and I had a really great, you know, just community during that weekend. Now, basically how it works is you basically bring in three LGBTQIA plus identifying people, and then you've got six straight people. So, all right, sure. Okay, and basically the idea is that we're supposed to build bridges with each person. Now, my experience is probably going to be different if any one of you guys go, because my experience was that I felt like a sacrificial lamb, honestly. I was making sure that I was building this bridge, telling this story about community and why I'm gay and Christian, why I married my wife, why all of these things. And one of the people in there said, well, Christina, I've gotten to spend all this time with you. It's Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I spent all this time with you. Really love you as a person, but I still can't affirm you. Has anybody ever heard that, or somebody told them, like, I can't affirm you? Well, so I was so shocked that I couldn't say anything at that time. I was like, okay. But then I started praying about it, and I started thinking about it, and I marinated, and I said, you know what? You don't affirm me. You don't affirm me. Look to your partner. Danny, as much as I love her, she doesn't affirm me. Pastor Keith, as much as he's been a spiritual father, Ed, they don't affirm me. I get to have the blessing and privilege to work with Pastor Deb every single day of the week, but she doesn't affirm me. Your partner does not affirm you. God affirms you. God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit affirms you. And that's a battle, right? We know Jesus has already done this. However, why do we keep letting people come into our lives, taking this space, and letting them say, I can't affirm you? Well, they don't. In the story, in David and Goliath, and again, if you think about it, Jesus is the one who threw the stone. You think about your life. Jesus technically is the only one who can really throw that straight to use one stone to get to it. Because if we tried to do it ourselves, my stone might be over here, it might be over there, you know. And we have to know that it's still Jesus. The job that we've gotten, the promotions that we've gotten, the partners that we have, the ministries that we have are not ours. I want you to turn to people who have partners. Turn to your partner. You are not mine. You are not mine. You are Jesus's and you are God's. And for those of you who've been praying for a partner, girl, y'all might not want one. No, just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding. I swear to you. Just kidding. I'm in real trouble. Yes, you were. I am not getting fed this whole week. Just kidding. Just kidding. They'll come. If you can pass. I am in trouble. Boy, oh boy. So Jesus says, come to me, All you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. That's what Jesus is here for. We try to do it all ourselves. The world would like to think that we can do it ourselves and would like to make us think that we can do it ourselves. But again, Jesus is the reason. He is the truth, the light. Oh, wait, I am the way, the truth, the light. Sorry. But that's the thing, is that he can take your burdens and make them light. So let us be used. So I just recently learned this really cool thing that I've been telling everybody about. It's called a BHAG. So it means big, hairy, audacious goal. So Joshua knows it. And basically what it means is that if you guys have goals in your life and you want to go do something, create a massive goal. And what you're supposed to do is tell everyone about it. Because even if you don't hit that goal, you've at least gotten closer than where you were when you didn't tell anybody about it. So I'm actually telling you one of my goals, one of God's goals that he's given me and laid in my heart. So a while back, Agape Impact was created for LGBT missions community to basically help plant gay-affirming churches. In June and July, and this is where I'm telling you guys that if you can be praying for me, for Danny, and for what we're trying to do, is I'm actually going to go for a month into another country by myself where I don't even know the language. I don't even speak Spanish. My wife speaks Spanish. She tries to talk to me, and I'm like, what are you saying? You're talking too fast. She does. She talks really fast. And the goal is to plant a gay-affirming church in Costa Rica. Because, again, we are bridge builders. Pastor Jonathan then said, when's the last time that you've invited somebody outside of your friend group? When's the last time that you hung out with somebody outside of your friend group? I ain't looking at anybody, but, you know, when has that been? Because we have all this stuff that we get from church, you know, we learn all these things about praying for people, talking to people, Pastor Keith, Pastor Deb, everybody comes up here and preaches and inserts the word into you guys. But what do you do with it? Tell more people. Be bridge builders. The point is not to be in this church and just, you know, we can pass the love. That's why we you have community. But the idea is, once we get this community, once we have been filled up by each other on Sundays or Wednesdays or Thursdays or whatever day we see each other, be a bridge builder. You know, most people who know me, I'm a pretty straightforward person. Stop sitting around. Stop messing around on Facebook. Go do something. Let me tell you why. Pastor Deb and I have been planning, and Danny and we've been planning my Costa Rica trip. I said, I've been praying for this for about a year now. Should I go, guys? Should I go? And they're just like, book it. Book the trip. We'll figure it out. Okay. And I'm really scared still. I'm only scared because I don't know what I'm going to eat. I know, I don't feed myself. But go out and be a bridge builder. And then it says why. Because Jesus said so. Because Jesus said so. It's in Matthew 28:18-20, it says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus has already done it. You just now have to let yourself be used. So how do we do this? Prepare. We've got to prepare. PD knows this. Pastor Deb knows this as much as most people because we deal with each other on a daily basis. How many hours do we prepare for just one meeting? For one phone call? A long time, right? It takes a couple hours. Prepare yourselves. So I'm going to give you, there's a group of friends that we have. It's actually a group of ten women that we basically communicate. And I met them at the Q Christian Fellowship Conference. So again, if you guys are looking to find more people who are in community, Ari has been, check out the QCF conference in January. But in order to prepare, we also have to know ourselves. So they've been talking about this thing called the Enneagrams. Has anybody heard about the Enneagram? Check it out. Go do it. Go do the test. You probably have to do it a few times to understand like how it works. But it's actually a pretty cool tool where you can learn about your personality and then also learn about other people's personalities, and you share it with each other as a community. So it's called Enneagram, Enneagram, if that's how you spell it. Nah. So prepare, know yourself. Second, you've got to be in prayer. So whatever you're planning to do, you can't not do it without prayer. You can't do it without prayer. So get a group together to pray for each other. Karen actually was one of my prayer people. I asked her to pray. She had no idea what I was going to when I went to the Oriented to Love dialogue. But I was like, Karen, hey, can you pray for me? And you know what she said? Sure. Do you need me to pray for anything? And Karen and I don't get to see each other every day. I don't even get to hang out with Karen, but once a month, right? But that means there's a community here or outside of here that you can ask people to pray for you. And then three, execute. So you've got this BHAG now. We've got probably 10 BHAGs. I mean, you know, we've got different spheres in our lives that we have all these goals are, but we've got to be able to execute, guys. We're the body of Christ, but don't do stuff half. It's about consistency, right, PD? It's consistency. Half the battle is showing up. And we've got to execute. And it's not perfection. It's not about being perfect because we're all going to mess up. Lord, I might say something crazy in Costa Rica this summer like I did in Mexico. Right? I said something in Mexico City a while back that was not very good, but in Spanish. So, yeah. We're going to make mistakes, but we still have to execute. And then lastly, know Jesus has already won. Amen.
Right on. Good word. Amen. Very good word. So the number 5 in biblical numerology represents divine grace. So that's awesome that they had 5. He's saying God still in his grace. We're the stones he's using to take out the enemy, but it's through his grace. I love it. Costa Rica, we're going to pray for you right now for that. Costa Rica is very dear to me. I know it's probably very dear to Pastor Deb. We both have done mission work in Costa Rica. It was the very first country I ever went to outside of the U.S. that spoke Spanish, and I went to language school in Costa Rica and found out it's the same language school she's going to, so I think that's pretty cool. So stretch your hands toward Christina right now. Come on, so the Father, we thank you that this the Agape Impact has been birthed in her years ago, and that, Lord, that we've always talk about correct timing. And now, Lord, it appears this is the right time. So what I pray right now, Father, is for wisdom as decisions are made. I pray for discernment. I pray for unity. I pray for clarity. And I thank you, Father, that as she goes forward, she can accomplish so much with her skills, Lord, but you can accomplish 1,000 more with your grace. And so what I pray for is that your grace goes before her and that the path is clear. So, Father, I pray that she stay focused on that right lane that you have her in and not to get sidetracked with other things or other things that may even be good, that she get focused on what you called her to do because you birthed this in her years ago. I pray for a gift with Spanish. I thank you, Lord, that it's going to be supernatural, and I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. And en el nombre de Cristo, gracias, Señor. Ayúdale. Amen. Amen. Oh, awesome. So, Father, we thank you for the message. We just pray for our hearts that you would seal this word. And I thank you that you continue to use us to take out every giant through Jesus' name. Amen.